As you know, on Mondays, we are reading through the book of Acts. And today, the text selected for us is Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. My dear friends in Christ, like a rock tossed into a quiet pool generates ripples radiating outward, ever outward, the book of Acts is the record of how the word of the Lord grew and grew and grew until the good news of Jesus reached all the way from Jerusalem to the center of the world, to Rome. At first, as we have seen in our Monday readings from the book of Acts, the disciples of Jesus spoke the word only to fellow Jews. But that had to change. Last week, we heard the dramatic story of how this Holy Spirit taught Peter that this good news really is for all people. You remember the vision in which Peter heard the word of the Lord. What God has made clean, do not call common. And then immediately Peter was directed by the Spirit to go to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile, to speak the word. And Peter was amazed when the Holy Spirit then fell even on these Gentiles. And when Peter was called to give an account to the church in Jerusalem, he said, if God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. The implication is that they were surprised, even stunned, but they glorified God anyway. That's where today's reading comes in. At the same time God gave this vision to Peter, there were men of Cyprus and Cyrene who were so eager to tell others of the good news of Jesus that when they got to Antioch, they were telling everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. And a great number of them believed and turn to the Lord. And when this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, Barnabas was sent up to check it out. And when he saw it, Barnabas recognized the word of God doing what it always does to bring people to faith. So Barnabas rejoiced. And then he thought, well, we got to make sure these folks are more surely grounded in the faith. I know just the guy. So he went to Tarsus, some 70 or 90 miles away, and found Saul. Remember Saul? After his conversion on the Damascus Road, he went to Arabia for 3 years, then to Jerusalem for a meeting with Peter and James, and then he says he was in the regions of Syria and Cilicia for 8 or 10 years or so. But now he is ready. the Lord had prepared him to be his chosen instrument to bring the good news also to the Gentiles. Well, a whole year, Barnabas and Saul taught the people from the Word of God. Saul was a master of the Old Testament scriptures, but now he saw them in a new light, in the light of Christ crucified and raised from the dead for us and for all. So that church in Antioch had to learn that the gospel is for everyone. No one is left out, but all are called to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus and receive life in his name. This, of course, is a lesson the church needs to learn over and over again. As Pastor Shave explained so eloquently last week, we are not to allow differences of language or culture or ethnicity to get in the way of bringing the gospel to all. Right here, though, I have to admit to a couple of temptations that I have as the preacher for today. First, I could tell you more about times and places where we as the church have failed to bridge cultural divides and to call us to repent of those failures. My first parish in Chicago, for instance, didn't know how to reach the Koreans and Filipinos that were moving into our neighborhood. They weren't German or Scandinavian, you see. But truth be told, I didn't know either. Or I could try to justify ourselves by pointing to all those times and places where we are today reaching across cultural divides and ethnic divides to share the gospel and to thank God for them. Most of you can point even better than I to multiple places around the world where this is happening through our mission word. Thanks be to God. But neither of these two approaches really gets to the heart of the matter for me or for you today. Yes, the word of the Lord is for all. And yes, we rejoice when the word bears fruit in unexpected places, and we pray that we don't miss it when it happens. But the most important issue for us to hear from this text is that the word of the Lord is also for you and for me. We cannot bring the word to others unless we have heard it ourselves and believed and turned to the Lord ourselves. One of the true hazards, just for me, of working in the International Center is the temptation to handle the Word of God out there somewhere. Write this colloquy letter, and there's a whole bunch of them. Advise that district president. Try to mollify another caller or letter writer with a complaint. So I use the word of God out there, but I'm tempted to keep it a safe distance from my own heart. But the word of God cannot be bound up like that. It has a power and energy all its own apart from me. Indeed, the light of the word of God shines into all the dark corners in my life, calling me to repent. For the only way to have Jesus as your Savior is first to admit how much you truly need him. And through the word of Christ's cross, the Holy Spirit assures us Jesus has taken all that sin on himself. That's why he was baptized in the Jordan, as we heard yesterday. He goes into the water clean, but comes out bearing all of our sin, so that we go into the water dirty, but come out clean, washed in his redeeming blood. And because he lives for us, we also hear the Father say to to us in Jesus. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased because you are in Jesus. And guess what? Hearing and believing that is exactly what the Holy Spirit uses us to... No, it's exactly what the Holy Spirit uses to move us to be like those guys from Cyprus and Cyrene, to go to others, even those who are different from us, with the good news. It's just as we sang, Lord of harvest, great and kind, rouse to action, heart and mind. Let the gathering nations all see your light and heed your call. May we be part of that for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.